Right, on my inaugural podcast for Get Pro Copy, I'm really pleased to invite an ex-pupil, Jamie Norrington, who I taught in 2008. He was in my form at Cliff Park High School, and we remained friends ever since. And I'll explain why later on, but first of all, let's hand over to Jamie.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's been a long time since we were sat in a form room together. Swapping ideas on phones and looking at your massive credit card collection that you had in your wallet.
Always forget.
Yeah. So how long have I known you now? So we've been friends for, well, you was my teacher for 2 years? No, 1 year.
1 year, that's how
long. 1 or 2 years. Yeah, doesn't surprise me with your changing of career. So we've been friends now probably properly for what, 5 or 6 years? It's got to be around that sort of length, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had a bit of a hiatus where I left the world of social media, and then when I got out of that age of education, I invited people back in on the perch.
Right.
Tell us about yourself then and your background.
Yeah, so originally I'm from London. Not from the world of Norfolk. Moved here in 2003, and currently work as a IT recruitment manager for a business called Atkinson Moss, based in Norwich. So I recruit into the wonderful world of IT. That's me really. So I've got a young family who I love dearly sometimes, and that's really me. Live not far from you.
Yeah, what brought you to Norfolk then? Was it jobs for
family? No, so I think from where I used to live in Leytonstone, it was a bit of a rough area, and it wasn't great. There was people I went to school with are currently inside for doing certain crimes and whatnot. And I think my mum and my stepdad decided it was time to move me out of the area. It was slowly going downhill, so. My mum, funnily enough, used to holiday in Norfolk when she was probably my age when we moved here. And my grandparents decided to move this way as well. So my mum went, okay, let's move. And literally within about 3 months, we'd gone from living in this pretty much on the central line in London to living in Hopton, which is the population of about 1,000 people, probably not even that, to be honest.
So East Norfolk, if you're not familiar with it.
It was a bit of a culture shock. And I must admit, probably even though we've lived here for so long, I still probably haven't adjusted to living here. It's not busy enough. It's a big difference. So.
It's a slow pace of life. It's funny because I cycled down here. I came with a mate, Dave Southern, who I used to teach in Bolton. We left the car on the Stanton and we cycled around the coast. Because we'd come from Bolton, we expected rain every day, so we'd pack the waterproof for the bikes. And it never rained for 3 weeks of cycling. And I thought, oh my God, this area I didn't know existed in England. So when the chance came for me and my wife, Tricia, who were going to move,
I like it as well. I think working now in the city centre, it's quite a nice change to then go out to the sticks and it be quiet. It's a nice transition, and I guess, you know, it's very, very different from where I used to live, admittedly. But no, I'm glad my mum made the move. And I think now I've got a younger family. I see the benefit of living in a nicer location.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is, you know, I can walk around at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and there's never an issue. Whereas I probably wouldn't have gone out after 5 o'clock at night when I lived in London. So
no, you're only nine now. You shouldn't be out to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Living where I lived, it wasn't the sort of place where you'd go out in the dark. It just wasn't a nice place. It's been a big difference, but it's home now, I guess.
So you left school, just going back, you left school, you went to East Norfolk Sixth College in Goldstone, and then you did a business degree at the UVA, didn't you?
Yeah, so I did my I did a sports course at college and was adamant that I really wanted to go into sports and exercise science and coaching and that sort of thing. Got to uni and did the first semester in sports science and went, yeah, I don't think this is a career. Funnily enough, at the time, one of the lecturers was teaching, he was a business lecturer, he was teaching a lecture on our sports course. And he said, look, come along to one of my lectures tomorrow, see what you think. And I turned up and funnily enough, one of the girls I used to go to school with was in there, and a few other people that I knew. So yeah, it was a big change, and I'd never really done business and thought about business, but actually I really enjoyed it. It was nice because you could relate it to real life. And at the time I was working for Nike or Nike as people like to call it, and had moved into a managerial position with those guys in Norwich. So my business degree became quite relatable, which was good. So,
so wherever you were then, you worked at Nike, haven't you? You worked at Skechers.
Yeah. So my career history is very varied, and I think so. I did a couple of years at Nike as a clothing manager, and then when I finished my degree, I went and worked for a small local business. It was a golf club as a business development executive, doing some sort of social media and helping to build their business. I then moved there and went back into retail for a little while, but realised it wasn't for me, and then landed a job in recruitment 3 years ago. Worked in education recruitment at the time, actually helped to recruit find your wife a job, which was quite funny.
It gave me a bit more freedom, Adam.
Yeah, I thought I'd better do you a favour. So worked in education recruitment for a period of time and then moved into IT. So yeah, it's an interesting field. And would I have thought I'd be in a sales position or recruitment? No, definitely not. It wasn't me. And it's been a big difference.
So you're 27 now, are you?
26.
I always remember year 10, I think about 2008. So just go down your current thing. Obviously, how has COVID-19 affected recruitment? I presume you've been...
Yeah, so I finished here. So we actually went remote working as of the 17th of March. And then on the Monday, we went on to the furlough scheme. I think things deteriorated quite quickly. And then I came back to work on the 1st of July. So, you know, near enough, not far off 4 months off work. Things have changed a lot, I think, from the perspective of, obviously, there's been thousands and thousands of redundancies, you know, even in the tech world. And I think companies have become a bit more cautious about what they're doing in the future. I think there's still that period of uncertainty. So companies that were growing maybe have put that on hold for now just to keep their costs down. But then on the flip side, you've got companies that are growing tenfold. So it's a really weird time. There isn't really anyone who's sitting on the fence. It seems either one or the other. So.
Yeah, I can see that with the housing market, because I work for estate agents, marketing, and you can see the boom or bust, famine or feast or famine. So are you seeing green shoots of recovery then? Are more jobs coming on the market?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of company, admittedly, I think we lost, in all honesty, I think we lost about 10 vacancies within the space of a day before the lockdown comes. So that was quite a big shock for us. Picking up work, there is a lot more work out there now. It is definitely on the way up. I think the problem that we face as recruiters, though, is where there's been mass redundancies, there's a lot more sort of product in the market as such, and a lot more people looking for a job. So a lot more companies are finding they've got direct applications. So it sort of cuts us out slightly. But I saw a job advertised the other day, and it had been up for 18 minutes, and there was nearly 300 people applying for it. And I think that shows the magnitude of the effect this has really had. I think I'm conscious that I've got people that I've worked with who have been made redundant in recruitment. So I'm quite lucky to still be in my job. We do have a number of clients who are still actively using us, but I would say that there's been a downturn for sure. So,
all right, okay. What do you see? I know this is a bit of a crystal ball moment. Patterns are changing. Do you think the office is dead, or is it just paused?
Yeah. I think from both perspectives, I think the shift into working from home has been coming for a long time. You know, it's been adopted in London and in, you know, in the bigger cities, and Manchester, even, you know, Cambridge has adopted it as well. I think locally it was coming, but it was always going to take a little bit of time. But I think where it's been forced onto it, well, yeah, pretty much, you know, it takes a few years for things to travel up this way. But, you know, I think it was coming and people were calling for it. I think where it happened so quickly overnight, I think people have just had to adapt. So actually that's probably a benefit of COVID actually, is it's forced people to become more flexible in their working. And I think you will see a downturn in people having office space. I think there was the CEO of WeWorks, the serviced office blocks, even he said that he's predicting that there's going to be a massive sort of boom in shared office space and the hiring of meeting rooms and things like that post-COVID, because you don't need to be in an office all day, you know. Okay, companies will meet once a week, but that's it, really.
I've been an advocate for working from home for years, but because you haven't got that commute and you haven't got that dressing up, that paraphernalia of packing off the work and the commute and all that,
yeah,
I think you do work harder. You're not distracted and tired by other aspects of a job.
No, I must admit. So I was doing the commuting from where I live, and 26 miles to me isn't too far, but it was still taking me an hour and a half in the mornings, you know, nearly 2 hours to get to work. Admittedly, I don't drive, so there is that to it. But I think, you know, that time in the morning, everyone's commuting anyway, so it's, you know, it's busy. But I think taking, you think your working day for me is 9 to 5. I'm adding 2 hours on in the morning and 2 hours on in the evening. So my day effectively is 7 to 7. You know, it's a long day. So I think, yeah, I agree. I think people are more productive. But I think it's about I think where you've got a home office that you've got set up, so it's your sort of environment away from your home as such. I think for the people that are working at their breakfast table or in their front room, I think eventually they may find that they need to have an office or an office space.
Yeah. I can see it coming in building, you know, in the new developments. You see it already, where they're putting the dining room space. It's really too small to manage. So you've got on the estate island, you've got a little cubby holes downstairs, yeah, which would be perfect to put a map in, a desk, a chair, and some speakers, and then you're just with a window, light. So I can see that coming. This leads on to the next question. Your working day is pretty full on. What do you do to relax weekend?
I think my relaxation time is usually spent running around after my 2-year-old. So I don't know how relaxing that is. But I think people have found, and I have found different ways to relax now, because the conventional gyms have obviously been closed for so long, which is usually what I'll do after work or on the weekends to relax. You know, all the things that you would normally do, I think, have changed. So now I find myself quite into photography. I bought a camera, so I guess that classes me as a photographer. All the gear and no idea, but yeah. So that I like to go out walking and actually sort of spending time sort of working on bits that I'm interested in. You know, I've got quite a keen interest in sort of content writing. I like writing bits of content and doing different bits. So yeah, I use that as a bit of an escape from my 9 to 5, really.
Are you still obsessed with training?
Yeah. So we've had this conversation numerous times, and you know, my obsession with footwear has been, I would say I'm probably not as obsessed as I was prior to having my son, because I don't have the extra money to be spending on trainers. But my collection is still is extensive, and you find me reading the latest sort of trainer blog. But yeah, I love trainers. Trainers are this.
My memory of you was at school. I'd get a black polo and then you stayed me by your palm prey or whatever it was called, Motorola Pebble. Phones for 12 years. And I always remember that there was always this competition between me and you, because you were like the rich kid from London. who had really good phones, and I was the last teacher from Doncaster who was trying to be bourgeois. Yeah. That's my hiding memory of you. I think I finally got ahead of you.
I remember.
Oh no, I've not.
I think you have got ahead. Yeah, I don't know. You've downgraded. Baller status has been removed. So I think my memories of you was always you was obsessed with Amazon. Like Amazon was your thing then. That's what you. I remember you used to come in. Your wallet used to be thick with cards, and you would either put a, not to discredit your teaching, but you would either put a film on in the form to keep people quiet, or you would talk about something that you'd bought. That was your.
But
I understood you, and I think that was why we always got on so well. Is because. I think because we were outsiders, people didn't get your humour or the way you were. I think because they weren't built like that. Whereas I think because of being from outside of certain places, I got it and I understood it, and it was funny. And I think the competition side of things, I think it used to rub people out the wrong way. You know, like when I first moved here, God, I got bullied like crazy because I was different. You know, being from a different area. Not talking the same as everyone else because I've got a bit of an accent. Because my stepdad used to drive a Porsche. Do you know what I mean? People hated it. They really didn't like it. You know, and that struggle to fit in. So when people move to new locations, I really sympathize with them because it is difficult. Especially only being, 9 or 10? I didn't understand, you know, so.
Yeah, my son was down at a slightly earlier age, and he found it hard to assimilate. Because, you know, friendly as it is, it's a place where it has its own idiosyncrasies, Norfolk. And it does take time to settle in. Although I do think now, we still would pick our ankle straight to Dalston and Yarmouth. That would have been a holiday in 5 years of living here. I do feel now it's time.
Yeah.
We did have this spell to move to Edinburgh there. So what are your long term plans, Jamie? Now, obviously, recruitment is something that floats your boat, isn't it, with Atkinson Moss? You love doing that.
I think I've been fortunate to land with a set of employers that are very open and have actually probably throughout this period probably been the best that I could have asked for from employers, if I'm honest. So, you know, recruitment is always there. God, I think I'll lose all my hair even more so before I, you know, by the time if I pack recruitment in 20, 30 years, I don't know. But no, you know, I think for me, I think I'm still at that age where I'm just trying to decide where my future lies. I've got really good opportunities here and, you know, potential opportunities to sort of expand my knowledge and do different things. But I think at the moment, I think it's hard to think about what you want to do in the future because there is still so much uncertainty. But I think also at the same time, it's about understanding where you are at and if you're lucky to be in the situation you're in, and I definitely am. So,
yeah, I think what lockdown has done is given people a space to think. You know, and people are reevaluating. I don't think shopping and things like that are ever. You know, I don't see it being average anymore when we're going to lowest.
I think you go from the 9 to 5 every day, and the weekends don't give you enough time to relax because then you're just doing life admin, aren't you? You're going to the bank, you're going food shopping, you're seeing your friends and family, and that's your life admin. Whereas I think the 3 months that I've had off in furlough have given me that chance to sit back and evaluate. And I think a lot of people don't have that time either until they have a significant break in their career or they retire. And by that point, not that it's too late, but by that point, you've probably spent 40 years in a job. It's too late to evaluate what, you know what I mean? I think, you know, you get to 50 or 60 or 60 odd and you're thinking about slowing down then, not to speed back up. So,
you sent me that podcast last night, which inspired this piece. And it's like you're obsessed on podcasts. I'll give all the credit to you. But, you know, it's that thought of, you know, working till you're 65 and then only having 5, 10, 15 years of guy at 80 to enjoy it. people do hate the job. I think you and I are very lucky that we love our jobs. I've loved teaching most of my career. I get up in the morning with passion and I say a big class. And I've seen that as well with the recruitment. It's great.
Yeah, I think in that podcast I sent you, what the guy said was very true in terms of, you know, you go to school and you're educated to do better in 1 year to get to the next year. And then you go to college, you're educated to do good in college to go to uni. And then that translates into your work life and to do better, to get a promotion and earn more money. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, and I see it now, probably working in the employment sector as such, people spend so long in a job and then they get to their 40th or 50th birthday and they go, Jesus, I've spent like 30 years in one career. I now need to change. And I think that changing of jobs is not easy. I think, you know, you've done it firsthand. You know what it's like to sort of to go from earning a good wage to pretty much earning nothing in your first year. You know, and I think that step that people take, I think is very difficult. And I think people are sometimes frightened to take that step, and for good reasons as well. But his podcast, I think,
it's terrifying to take the first step. You know, I remember that £25 in month one when he'd been used to taking home £2.5 grand. It's a major shock to lose £2,450. I sound like Priti Patel with my numbers. I've got my numbers on it. And what phone are you getting next? I know you're on an iPhone 10S. I'm on an SC. I've really gone down.
Yeah. So,
are you going to stick with Apple?
I don't know. I use a PC for work, and I use a Mac for my personal. And I love my Mac. And it's the best piece of kit. So what I'm talking to you on now, I've also got an iPad and an iPhone. I can't help it. I feel like once I'm in. I'm like you. Actually, I think me and you have got the same personality when it comes to certain things. And Apple is probably the one. Admittedly, I can't afford it as much as you can. But at the same time, I don't know. The iPhone 12, you've seen renders of it. I've seen what the new iOS looks like. Am I annoyed they're not shipping it with a plug and a pair of headphones? Of course I am. For a £1,000 phone, that's annoying. Will I get one? Probably, yeah.
That's a precursor to having no charging point, because the iPhone 13 will come without a Lightning or USB-C port, and it'll be wireless completely neat. And then they reckon this is a way of breaking it to play on tell that you're not getting headphones or a cable this time. The next time, you're not even getting a slot.
I think wireless charging is great. I just don't think that they've got. There isn't, maybe I'm wrong, but to me, there doesn't seem to be a wireless charger out there that gives you the same amount of power as what direct to a plug socket does.
I know it doesn't.
I think until they address that, you know, it's like charging, it's like electric cars, isn't it? You know, my old man works in the chauffeur industry and he said they're supposed to be putting in so many charging points in London, but the amount of charging points is like less than 2% of the amount of cars, you know. So I think all these things about wireless charging and all this, they're great, but I think there is some still fundamental issues, and I think that's one of them. You know, I've got an old iPhone charger, which from 0% to 100% can charge my phone in 25 minutes. Mm. You know, it's a brick, and they don't sell them anymore, but with a wireless charger, how long would it take? I think it's good to maintain your battery, but I don't think it's there for prolonged
use. I pop mine up on the desk while I'm trying, but I don't know. And if I need to go out and put it in the house, charge it.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the rest of the day and the weekend? You know, it's only Wednesday.
So I'm currently the only one sat in my office, as you can see the Atkinson Moss logo behind me. I'm the only one sat in the office today. Working for most of the week, really, just trying to sort of see what's out there and sort of touch base with a lot of the clients we were working with and whatnot. And that's it really. The weather's pretty shocking, so I don't think I'll be going out for my